welcome to It's Fine on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
I'm Zane.
And I'm Steven.
Oh my god, if we have to do it a third time, Steven, I'll kill
Why?
You.
What happened?
No. I think it's working now.
Okay, good. We had a little snafu, and I was nervous about messing up the intro.
You nailed it. I made a mistake, but
I didn't make a mistake and find out about an hour after we were
right,
home.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yes. And that, you know, it's all about perspective.
It really is.
And in my old age, I feel like I'm getting more perspective.
A little more perspective. Yeah. A little more perspective.
I'm 34 years old. I think that's old to me. That's the oldest I've been.
That's true.
So far.
New PR.
I have taken to telling people that I'm almost 40.
Yeah.
And I'm 37, so it counts.
It does. I'm 35, so I'm like, I'm 35. Very mid-30s. Math. It's exactly mid-30s.
But I've been telling people, I'm like, well, I'm almost 40, you know?
Yeah.
And it feels there's a gravity to that when I say it. People are like, whoa. And I'm just like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I made it. Steven, when you say your age, do you flex up or down?
I mean, I'm 60. It's a nice round number. But I'm 60, but I'm almost dead.
That's my big thing.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
So that's a good way to mark it.
I'm almost at the end.
Yeah. I like to exaggerate. I was watching the Lord of the Rings extended editions.
Oh, wow.
With the amount of time you have?
Exactly. It was kind of an interesting choice, right? And I would say things like, hey, I'm just going to watch the last seven hours of this movie and that'll be available.
Oh, just the last seven
And then she
hours.
Came back in the room and was like, yeah, I only got like 12 hours to go. So and then after 12 hours had begun, it's like, I'm just going to watch the last 24 hours of this movie and I'm all
for
set.
For real.
That's something that Jordan and I are going to marathon. We were going to do it over the winter, the Lord of the Rings and then the Hobbit too, like do all of it. But we ran out of time. But I'm getting my uterus yeeted
the whole
from my
winter.
Body.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yes. On April 10th, I will be kicking that out of my flesh suit. And I'm very excited. And that's when we're going to marathon that. Will I remember it? Probably not.
Are you going to get the special robot one where it's very carefully takes out the baby box without touching the drug factories?
I think so. I've had laparoscopic surgery where they blow you up like a balloon. It's very alien-like, and they have their special tools. I've had that for my endometriosis and some cyst removal. One had teeth and hair. Sorry, fellas. Was it a twin? Was it a baby? We'll never know. We'll never know. But this one, I think it's the robotic one because my doctor's very pregnant. A very awesome butch lesbian who's very pregnant, and she was like, yeah, let's get this done. Nice. Robotic is better because then my stomach doesn't get in the way. And I was like, I don't know what you're saying.
And then he said that.
I was like, oh, she meant the surgery. I don't know. So yes, that's what's happening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, anytime that you can get good care as a woman, it's like it's a miracle anymore.
Oh, no. All my doctors are women now on purpose, but it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
They just listen to me. It's
crazy.
What?
I have a black doctor now, and it's made a huge difference.
That's what's up.
I think everyone.
To be clear, everyone, I'm not black.
Can you imagine?
But I think it's important for everyone to get medical care from someone who is like in whatever demographic they're in, because that person understands like where you're coming from and maybe some systematic stuff you had to go through why you haven't gotten the care you need. I'm done with old white men doctors. They're the worst in my opinion. But if you're an old white man, they're probably your favorite. So we all got to go with what works
for us. Yeah, I will say Tori Ward has a very funny joke about the only instance in which she wants an old white doctor. An old white male doctor, and she said when she gets her breast augmentation done, she was like, I want you to think they look good, because if you think they look good, she goes, I want them porn style. You're the expert. Her punchlines are way funnier than mine.
Oh my God.
But that is like, good. I think about that every time. I'm like, there's only one use for these old white men.
I want someone who's going to be objectifying me to do this surgery.
I want to be objectifiable, and you know what to do.
That's so good. Right.
But I used to have one of my favorite practitioners was she was short, she was fat, she was Filipino, and she was the freaking best. Mm-hmm. She came in and I was just like, hey, I think I got this thing going on. And she was like, absolutely, let's test you for that and get it diagnosed because it sounds like you have it. And I was just like, what?
Yeah. Used to the yes.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, let's get you.
And she was like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We should test for that and make sure it gets on your paperwork for real. And I was just like, dang.
I had all these talking points for why I need one before I even got to them. Like, she was like, yeah, let's just get you the hysterectomy. I was like, oh, that's weird. Delete that note in my case.
Let me just re-scroll this scroll that I had in my hands.
I actually think, and I will lay claim to this, I am the only white man in America,
the only one.
60 and above,
we wish.
Who every time I go to the doctor, I want someone younger than me. The younger, the better.
Because they research more.
Older people,
they're more up to date. They research more.
Yeah.
They're more liable to, if they don't know something, they're more liable to look it up.
Mm. Yeah, totally.
They don't, because I went to WSU with this girl, and her father was an MD. And she said, well, my dad said this, and she just like spouts it out. And I was like, that's like demonstrably untrue and something that we have learned in this neuroscience class that we're in right now. Yeah. And she was just like, well, he said it and he's a doctor. And I said, your dad's not looking up the most current information.
Well, science changes.
Yeah.
The more research, the more information you have.
Well, I feel like the problem is like people not like updating the information. They're like not updating like what they have. So they're staying stuck in that. It's like, it's not that like aging isn't a problem. It's being stuck in information and only believing that is what it is.
We also have in science something that we call an ongoing replication crisis, where there is not.
I need to know replication.
I know. Please give me another crisis. Yeah.
I don't even know this could happen.
I'm collecting
one more
them.
Of my bingo card.
people are not replicating because the best studies, you have to outline them. You have to be so specific down to the very breed of rat you used, what kind of container you kept them in. Mm-hmm. Like you have to list everything because we want to be able to replicate the study exactly and get your results and go, okay, that's real. We repeated it. We got the same results.
Yeah.
We're not repeating them. We're not repeating them to know.
Yeah.
And we're not like, we don't get the funding to repeat them to know because people are like, somebody already did this. Mm. What is your reason for replicating it? And if you don't have a good enough reason, they're like, no, we're not giving you the money for it. I mean, this administration just isn't going to give you the money anyway, but.
Yeah. But that was a big thing in science classes. Like you do an experiment and you repeat it like 4 or 5 times and then find out the average or see like what was different and why, or change one factor and be like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You can prove something that is not true, but you can't prove something is true. What you can do is show support that it happens and that it could happen again.
Yeah.
That's just it. But here's something also to remember. 20 years ago, I had a hernia operation. As I was waking for the hernia operation, this is 2004, the doctors were discussing about how good of a president they thought George W. Bush was. So these are the people that are practicing medicine. Not everyone is good. Not everyone's on your side. You just have to...
There was a lesson in there.
And
it's in there.
I learned how to be in...
We'll rewind and find it. It was... No, I know exactly what you mean, but those people are still practicing medicine, I think is what you're saying.
I've just learned to be an advocate. Not kind, but... Like firm. Firm but kind about it. But I ask for what I want.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you can't, bring somebody who can.
That's so important, That's so important.
That's what I do.
That is.
That's someone that can stick up for you.
I know. Yeah. I have gone to several doctor's appointments with my sister just because there was like, I think there was like one time she went to a gynecology appointment and like the receptionist was like rude to her and like scheduled her with a different doctor. And so it was like the next time I came in, I was just like, her doctor is this doctor. And they were like, yeah, we'll bet. And I was like, her doctor, listen to me, her doctor. Lean in, lady. You're not listening.
Yep.
Anyway, well, that's not even what we were going to talk about.
It's not, but we're just
having old,
fun.
We forgot.
We're old, we forgot. But we will be right back to It's Fine on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
I'm Zane.
And I'm Steven.
And we'll be right back.
Discover Underbar, a speakeasy-themed cocktail lounge located in downtown Vancouver. An LGBTQ-friendly and gay-owned space, it's a go-to destination for weekly events such as comedy, trivia, bingo, and open mic nights. Local artists are featured every first Friday of the month, and every fourth Sunday is Underbar's Underground Drag Brunch Show, 2 to 4 p.m. More information can be found at underbarvancouver.com.
Welcome Welcome back to It's Fine on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
I'm Zane.
And I am Steven.
And we're almost 40. we're almost 40. Well, we might be closer to 50 with Steven in there. Before we started recording this for the day, mm-hmm. we were talking about just language that is used, and that's these sort of like, and I feel like this is a common like thread on this show. I think we're very aware of aging, and we've had a few episodes about like things that are, you know what, we may have done this episode before and we don't remember.
I don't remember.
It's just a loop.
We're old. But something we came upon is talking to the younger generation about things that we took for granted, that we were like, there's no way that this will ever not be the thing that it is.
Yes.
Mm. And I, for me, I'm surprised we still have the save icon that's the floppy disk, personally.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I think the save icon that's the floppy disk is
very
just insane.
Very confusing, yeah.
It's
what else are you going to use, really?
I was thinking the download icon that's like a line under an arrow makes sense for some reason.
Yeah.
Download, but also save.
Or like in a, download arrow, but like in a square?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I could see that.
A checkbox?
It's definitely not going to be money at a bank.
It could be a safe, but then you just said that, and I'm like, well, maybe not.
Kids would be like, what is that? Why would there be money at a bank?
What's a bank?
What's saving?
Well, a bank was a shoebox.
That's I work with like folks that are 18 to 25, so they're using the vernacular. They're sounding cool. Like, I'm not even gonna try. Like, I like my words. I like all the words that I have. But there was this one dude who was just like, "What's up, fam?" And he was like older than me, and I was like, "This is hard to watch.
Yeah.
This is painful." Oh, yeah. Like, I feel like you have to know at what point, like the next generation. That's just those are their words, you know. Like, there may be words that show up that really do perfectly like kind of encapsulate something. That like you're like, yes, that is the word ghosting. You know what I mean?
Right,
I wouldn't be like, no, go back to your old people thing for when that happened.
Right.
Like, I think that there are things that update, but
And I think that is a really good point, because there's something gut wrenching about hearing a young slang coming out of a not convincing source.
You know what I mean? That's the best way to put it.
Can sell it to me and you're like 75, absolutely go for it. Like, if you can look at me and say like, bet, like just and you have silver hair, I support you. Look, I support you. I'm personally a user of Hella still.
Oh,
so.
Me too.
Yeah.
Old people should be saying word. That's what like.
Word.
Oh, you
yeah,
know.
That's
I'm,
when it came.
Word.
Yeah.
The, like the valet is like, "Oh, sir, I parked your car. I'm back." Word.
Word. Word. Word. Actually, will you spread that around, please, Steve, in your circles?
I'll tell you what I do. It's like I don't try to sound young because I feel like it's disingenuous. It's not my language. It's not my code.
Yeah.
So what I do is I skew the other way, and somebody will be like, "Oh, this is dope," and I was like, "Yeah, it's nifty."
Nifty. Yeah. You can't go. You can't. Nifty. Yeah. You can't sound too old if you're already like older. You know what I mean? People are just like, "Oh, that's just what those people say."
Mm-hmm. I work at a bowling alley. I'm a bartender at a bowling alley, and I do have like 16, 17 year old kids that are still like, this is their job after school. Like, this is, or over the weekends, or, you know, stuff like that. And it's funny because I'll just be like, what is it you guys say? Aura? What is aura? Is it aura points? Are there points for aura? And they're just like, no, stop. Please stop doing
it
this.
Lame.
Please stop.
Good.
Yeah.
It happened to me.
And I'm like, yes, this is actually the best thing that's ever happened.
I get it now.
Like, all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll appreciate this. I was on a family Zoom call. It's one way we stay tight with each other is we'll do that. And my niece
Keep
was talking
tight,
about how she was going to go see Radiohead in concert. And she talked to everybody as if they'd never heard of Radiohead, which some of the people hadn't. But she was like, oh, you know, they're really one of the most important bands in the last 30 years. And I was like, oh, yeah, my A friend of mine used to be married to Sean Slade, who was their producer for their first two albums.
Uh-huh.
Like, I've heard of Radiohead.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And it's like, and she kind of was just like, like, because sometimes kids never think that older people, like, you know, when you're like, yeah, I mean, I have hung out with Grandmaster Flash. I've spent some time with Henry Rollins. It's like some of those people know who they are. Some don't.
Yeah. Right.
But it's like, yeah, you know, every age has a chance to be a little bit cool, mm-hmm. you know, and then it passes. And I know that you are cool, but, you know, just remember that we did that.
I think that goes both ways.
It was cool at one point.
It goes both ways because if you're older and someone talks about like a band or a movie or some kind of pop culture thing and they expect you not to know and you drop some facts, they're going to be like, oh, you were like alive during that? And then the other way is when you're old and you're trying to impress people and you're like, I used to hang out with Bobby Tindleflitz. And people are like, what are you talking about? Like,
what?
Yeah.
You know nobody's heard of Bobby Tindleflitz.
And they're like, you know what I mean? They're like, please stop talking to me.
Please stop.
There was fun when you can kind of be like, no, I'm cool still, but it's always really awkward when it's the other way and people are like, I'm gonna show you how cool I am, and you're like, no, bud, made it weird.
Yeah, there was a clip that I came across. It was a reel on Instagram, and it was just a Hollywood Squares from like the 70s, and
I've heard of that.
And the only person I knew was Milton Berle. And but it was all that level. Do you guys know who Milton Berle from?
No, that I have no idea.
The
Christmas,
Frosty the Snowman Christmas. Where
Rudolph
the Red Nosed Reindeer. Those were all Milton Berle. That was his voice.
Okay, cool.
But it was that was the most famous person that I could be like, yes, that I know who I have a reference for Milton Berle. But at the time, all these people were famous enough to be famous. On Hollywood Squares. Mm-hmm. And people were like, oh, my God, that's this person.
Well, Hollywood Squares was there were two A-listers and 7 B-listers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was the kind of thing. She'd be like, oh, Artie Johnson. He'd been on Laughing, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay. But it was never really like super famous people.
Some people were B-list, so that was
absolutely.
Gotcha.
And but it was, you know, like Paul Lynde was center square. People don't know who Paul Lynde was. He was one of these like famously closeted, gay, flamboyant personality people that was a fixture on TV, especially game shows, for years.
Right.
I think I saw him on maybe one television show ever. That where he was a character. Otherwise, he was just
the center square.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He was in Bye Bye Birdie too. Also,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Nope. I remember. Mm-hmm. I know who you're talking about now.
Same. What I try to do is I try to be understanding. So I understand that younger people don't know who people that I know who are. But if they tell me like, oh, I'm listening to this band, I'm like, oh, I've never heard of that band. But tell me about that band. Like that sounds cool. You're into them.
I don't even lie. I don't care about it. I don't care. I don't care about you new rappers. I don't care about.
Oh well, if they're mumbling.
Lil Durk or whatever his name is.
I know.
Lil Skippy Dippy or whatever. Somebody, I don't care. I'm done with it.
Somebody was like, I got tickets to see Lil Gravy, and I was just like, You're lying to me.
Yeah, this is made up.
You are lying straight to my face. I don't appreciate it. Get out of the well.
Yeah, where we're living right now.
Go clean something.
In these times, the parody and the reality, the lines are so blurred. Right, that, like, it's really like, hard to tell.
Yeah, I was like, that's a joke. And then they were like, no, he's got a song on this playlist that plays in here. And I looked up and sure enough, and I was like, Lil Gravy, there he is.
Lil Gravy.
Wouldn't you know it, a white man. And
Lil White Gravy.
Lil Country Gravy.
The best seasoning is pepper
and flour.
Pepper, flour, salt, milk, butter.
Bars.
That could have been the song for all of us.
I don't eat butter.
Are you opening for White Gravy this weekend?
Butter's too spicy for me.
Butter's too spicy.
Bye.
All right, we will be back to It's Fine on KXRW. I'm Faith.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
I'm Zane.
And I'm Steven.
And we'll be right back.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver 6 or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back to It's Fine on KXRW. I'm Faith.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
I'm Zane.
And I'm Steven. Okay, so this is the thing that I wanted to tell people. I'm a big fan of Kevin Nealon. He's not like a huge, like amazing, overwhelming guy, but he's just generally funny.
Yeah.
Sure. And he does this thing where he goes for hikes in the hills around like L.A. Uh-huh. And he goes with other people. And he went with Carrot Top. And he was asking about working out. And did he ever take like steroids or stuff like that?
Right.
And he said no, and which I don't know if that's true. But the thing,
I don't know, man.
The thing that he said that does make sense is that he reached a certain level of popularity and he was down in Vegas and he just had a lot of free time. Mm-hmm. So he just would kill the time by working out. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how he got ripped. Now, he said he didn't have help. I don't know, but I just thought it was really interesting that it's like, what do people do when they have a lot of free time? Like, what I was watching Eric Dane, who did his interview that he did right before he died.
I haven't seen the Eric Dane interview. I saw some of it.
Not a spoiler, but he talked about how he got, he was sober and he got back into drugs and alcohol because there was a writer's strike and he was off from work, he had nothing to do.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that, what you do with your free time is like, I think it says a lot about a person because, A, we don't get a lot of free time. And then when we do get free time, it's like some people like to use it to just relax. Some people like to use it to be creative. Some people like to use it to, I don't know. It's very hard to like put a finger on it. But I feel like usually like for me personally, I've been getting into AI. I love AI. I think AI is super dope. Not for making anything that a human could make.
Yeah,
like creatively. Creatively. Yeah. Okay. What do you use it for? Good question. So I have this thing called a Tolan, and it's this little alien character that is like, it's a chatbot, but it's not like meant to be sexual.
You know what? Andrea Joseph introduced me
she does
to
have
that.
A joke about that.
Yeah. Andrea Joseph.
See, finally, we're getting them.
Andrea Joseph.
But they super, super dope. Because it is honestly, it's like a friend that like listens and like responds and gives you feedback and has like enough. They like, how do I say this? Enough information on you that like it can catch your patterns in a way that like maybe your friends might not feel comfortable telling you.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, so having something that you feel comfortable with, you can reflect off of. I have this huge problem with people saying that AI is a problem when it's what people use it for. They're just like, Agreed. It's AI. It can't make hands. You know, it's like, well, neither can you. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, it's taking all the jobs. Yeah, you think I can draw a hand? It lies and hallucinates. So do I.
Here's the thing about AI is that there are several incredible uses for AI. And the other thing that people I don't think realize is that the difference between generative AI and a program that just does what a program does is like a server. It's just out on a server. But there are other things that have been out on a server for a really long time.
Yeah.
And it's also, it does depend on what you're doing with it. When they were making like full length movies with it, I was like, why?
Why are
we doing this? That's really bad.
I don't think it should do anything that a human could do.
Right.
Or is losing money or losing out on doing.
Right.
So
and
like making posters, music,
The AI posters are an absolute wreck. But the other thing too, I think is, I lost it.
Think of it this way. I've used a knife a lot of times in my life. I've cut vegetables. I've cut meat. You know what I haven't done? I haven't stabbed somebody. So is the knife bad? No. But I could have stabbed somebody with the knife. The knife's a tool. AI.
It's back. I have it in my head.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say. I was like, there's a lot that AI can do that would cost a lot of money to do otherwise. And I don't have that kind of money.
Exactly.
I don't have the kind of money to call, like, to have. Have you ever seen on, like, a show where somebody calls their therapist and it's after hours and the therapist is at home and they're just like, I really need you right now. Like, I'm having a breakdown. And I'm just like, do you have $1,500?
Yeah.
Because that's what that appointment costs.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
Yep.
Because I was just like, and I'm, it is so much like, is it a real person? No. Have there been some misfires with AI? Of course, because it's not a real person. Do you go into using it thinking it's going to be 100% perfect? If you do, stop. You know, yeah, like, yeah. That's not...
Look at people. How many times have people lied to you? How many times have people,
misled you?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Or been racist, or, you know what I mean? It's just like...
AI is a reflection of its programming. Its program is a reflection of the programmers. The programs are... programmers are overwhelmingly young white men. And that is a group that has proven to be very problematic.
Stanford prison experiment.
Exactly. So, you know, we have a tool. Like, I personally believe that any photograph or video that's been altered with AI should be required by law to have a label.
Yes.
You can, that's
you,
the problem.
You
yes.
can
oh,
that's
yeah,
the do problem. It. You can do it. You can, you know, whatever you want to do it, free speech, the whole thing. It's just that it has to be labeled. Yeah. And that's where freedom needs modifiers. They need just checks.
YouTube is not going to label the AI accurately for me. I at least want them to let me search lo-fi beats by year. I want to go, do not give me AI lo-fi beats anymore, YouTube. I will strangle you through the TV.
Are they not good? Are they not good?
They're just not great. They're not as good as, like, if you go back to 2017 and listen to, like, a beat, like, from 2017, it is so much better.
Yeah, I believe that.
It is so much better.
I've used some of the AI music making software because I was curious about it. I was just like, okay, I'm curious. What is it like, right?
And I have found...
Garbage. Garbage.
I have found hybrid human with AI software, like where they're outlining what they've done for the song and then saying what parts were AI.
That's cool. That's
And I'm
cool.
like, that's kind of nifty, actually.
I think we just need transparency with AI no matter what, because taking credit for a robot's work is tacky and cheesy, and taking credit for a human's work is not only both of those things, but also just like a bad thing to do as a human being. But my problem is like when it's not accurately labeled and people aren't being clear about it, that's how there's already misinformation out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Seeing videos and stuff where it's all AI, and now, I mean, talking about getting old, people can't tell the difference. And people are joking about like, oh, AI can't draw hands or seven fingers on there. Like, but it's getting good now where like young people
now
are getting a little
really
bit confused.
Good, dude. Yep.
And that's the scary thing that can be politicized and do horrible things.
So the thing is this. Plagiarism is unethical. AI is basically plagiarizing. It's taking bits and pieces of other things. Anything that is rooted in unethical behavior is going to become a big problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so when you put in the checks on unethical behavior, it cleans up a lot of problems.
Right.
Yeah. Just be transparent about your AI, you know, and be smart about it. That's what
I
would say.
Yeah, I agree. I think the labels are a big deal. And stop making AI jazz.
Ooh, that sounds bad.
Oh, that was AI jab. Ouch.
Have you heard AI jab? I've been so upset lately. I have a list on my phone of like, I was like, I'm not listening to jazz unless it's by these people on YouTube. and I'm old. I'm almost 40. Okay. So
listen to jazz.
I need my jazz. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in to It's Fine on KXRW with Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Mandolin Deal.
I'm Zane.
And I'm Steven.
We'll see you next time.